Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, July 11th. Coming up, St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery has only been in office since January, but he's already stirred up a lot of controversy.
He's handcuffed jail officials, he's fired droves of top-ranking officials from the former administration, and has allegedly refused to transport detainees to receive medical care.
And if Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey gets his way, Montgomery will be removed from office. We'll learn more from St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer has a plan for nearly $20 million of the Rams' settlement funds set aside for tornado relief. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports the funds announced yesterday will help with meals, rental assistance, home repairs, and more.
The St. Louis Board of Aldermen set aside $30 million in Rams funds last month. Spencer's plan would spend $18 million from that bucket and another $1 million from existing federal grants. Spencer says the remaining $12 million in Rams funds will allow the city to be nimble and adjust after this cash is spent on tornado recovery efforts.
We know that the need is greater than this, but it is a major start and it's a good start. We will continue to work on rolling out more of these RAMs and state money as we can.
The mayor's plan now heads to the St. Louis Board of Estimate and Apportionment for final approval next week. Spencer says she's hopeful the community will see these dollars in the coming weeks. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis Symphony Orchestra benefit concert and online campaign have raised $500,000 in donations and pledges to support the Urban League's tornado relief efforts. The June 29th concert at the Fabulous Fox Theater featured the SLSO, its symphony chorus, and its In Unison chorus. The money raised will go to food, temporary housing, personal care items, and emergency building supplies for tornado survivors in North St. Louis. A portion of funds will also go to tornado-damaged churches that partner with the In Unison chorus. Congressional Republicans have called a key source of state Medicaid funding a scam that needs to be restricted. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, that's not the view of some of Missouri's top leaders.
During debate over a major budgetary package in Washington, D.C., some Senate Republicans lambasted states for their long-term use of medical provider taxes. They've derided the tax on facilities like hospitals as a way for states to bilk the federal government out of money. But Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe says the state has handled medical provider taxes responsibly as a way to pay for its share of Medicaid.
Credit to our hospital and our hospital association. They've really done a good job of making sure we don't take advantage of it. We use it to fit Missourians the best.
Kehoe is hopeful Congress can repeal restrictions on medical provider taxes before they fully go into effect in 2032. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
A partnership between the International Institute and public art presenter Counter Public will help the Institute rebuild capacity. It slashed its budget when the Trump administration refused to distribute funds that had been approved by Congress. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin has that story.
The International Institute furloughed 60% of its workers in February. Counter Public sponsors a massive public art show in St. Louis every 3 years. This week, it also began paying for one of those Institute employees to come back to work for 2 years in a newly created community engagement role. Kelly Moore of the International Institute says the move will boost its outreach efforts.
Making those connections with corporations, schools, ethnic groups, chambers of commerce, any group you can think of. We want to alert them about the International Institute and then engage them.
The International Institute will be a key site for displaying artwork in the 2026 Counter Public Exhibition. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis's Community Development Administration provides grants for affordable housing, neighborhood beautification, and more. Those grants are themselves funded in part from the Federal Community Development Block Grant. The Trump administration's fiscal year 2026 budget eliminates that grant. CDA Executive Director Noel Pfeffer says he's concerned about the future of this federal money.
It's going to be under attack, and it is under attack right now. We will see if it's funded for 2026.
Federal funding cuts have not impacted this year's grants. The deadline to apply for the CDA's Neighborhood Transformation Grant is Monday, and applications for non-housing grants open August 1st. Commuters in the Metro East may need to find an alternate route in Madison County starting tonight. The Illinois Department of Transportation says it will shut down a 3-mile stretch of south and westbound Interstate 55 and 70 in Collinsville. If this sounds familiar, that's because it is. IDOT shut down the north and eastbound lanes for similar repairs last month. The state agency says the closure between State Highways 157 and 159 is needed for bridge repairs. IDOT anticipates I-55 and 70 will reopen by the end of the month. The agency estimates 46,000 people use that stretch of road daily. St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery will remain in office, at least for now. A judge declined to temporarily remove him during a hearing this week, marking the first courtroom showdown in a legal fight that could cost the 28-year-old his elected position. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz has been following the case. He sat down with me to break down what happened in court and how we got here, starting with how unusual his fight with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is.
It's not too often you see a court case like this. Montgomery was elected last year in an upset against former Sheriff Vernon Betts and took office just back in January. But almost immediately, questions started popping up around how he was managing the office and what some argue are a series of questionable decisions. He's handcuffed jail officials, he's fired droves of top-ranking officials from the former administration, and has allegedly refused to transport detainees to receive medical care. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey's office is alleging all these things basically amount to his administration not doing their job. He's alleging that the sheriff is guilty of kidnapping, misuse of taxpayer dollars, nepotism, and more, essentially. And the sheriff has disputed all of the claims, but Bailey gave Montgomery an ultimatum: resign or face me in court. When the sheriff wouldn't stand down, the AG filed something called a quo warranto, which is essentially a legal challenge that someone shouldn't be holding their public office.
And there was a court hearing this week, Brian. Can you tell us what happened there?
The first hearing was supposed to be predominantly procedural, but that didn't stop the sheriff's attorney, David C. Mason, from coming in swinging and really trying to get this case tossed. He told the court the case was frivolous and the Missouri AG violated ethics rules for including false information in the petition. One example he gave was around a claim that Montgomery violated the state's constitution by hiring an alleged half-brother, Deputy Malik Taylor. But Mason says they aren't related, and birth certificates that we reviewed show Taylor doesn't have a father listed. What's notable was when Mason told the court that Montgomery's father wasn't on Taylor's birth certificate, he turned to the front row of the gallery and said, "Sitting right there is the sheriff's father, and he is in fact not the father of the deputy in question." And he says that the father was ready to testify just that very point. And there were other interesting moments, like when a woman stood up and declared that the attorney general should be present and if he was sitting on the bench. And in fact, he wasn't. Six of the assistant attorney generals were arguing the case for him. And the state later on went to argue that Montgomery, the sheriff, shouldn't be holding office while this case is unfolding. And Judge Steve R. Omer didn't really buy the state's argument and essentially said, "Montgomery, you're free to do your job until we get through this."
You mentioned this is a quo warranto case. How often are Missouri officials being challenged this way, Brian?
This is pretty rare. The Attorney General's office has only filed a handful of these quo warranto cases in the last few years. But what's striking is that Bailey, since taking office in 2023, has filed at least 5 such actions with Alfred Montgomery's in just over 2 years or so. That's compared to the 5 by the previous 4 attorneys general combined. But in all those cases, aside from Montgomery's, which is still ongoing, and including former Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, the officials ended up resigning or they were removed from office.
So what comes next here?
The judge has set a slate of deadlines for both sides to exchange evidence and for future hearings. And if things move along as expected, a trial date is set for November 10th.
That's St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz discussing the latest on St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery. Read more about this week's hearing and the charges from the Missouri Attorney General at stlpr.org. Our Jessica Rogan edited that report. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Brian Moline, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.